You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt, a big midweek of football as well, because the Champions League and the Europa League are back and we're into the knockout stages of both competitions. The last 16 of the Champions League, the last 32 of the Europa League, and plenty of matches to get stuck into along the way this week. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Sam Norris. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, thank you, Mark. Every single season, it sneaks up on me, the knockout stage of the Champions League. I always forget about Europe completely, and then all of a sudden you look at what football's coming up in midweek and you think, oh my God, the Champions League's back. So every single February I get a nice surprise, and this year has been no different.
Valentine's surprise. Oh, great,
exactly,
good football.
Yeah. All the Valentine's surprises I'll be getting this year.
And myself, yes. I'm looking forward to this. Some real big teams in action, of course, in both of them. Strong English contingent in the Europa League as well, with Manchester United and Spurs both in that. But we'll start with the Champions League action. Just a quick look at the outright market before the knockout stages get underway. Barcelona 3-1 at the top of the betting. It's 4-1 for Bayern Munich. Real Madrid 4-1. Atletico Madrid are 8. It's 9-1 for Manchester City. Borussia Dortmund 11-1. Juventus 12-1. Arsenal 25-1 with Sevilla. And then 33-1 are bigger prices for the rest. Interesting the way the market's shaping up there. Barcelona are 3-1 favourites. They're struggling, well, not struggling, they're second in La Liga. Real Madrid a point ahead of them at this point with a couple of games in hand. Yet Real Madrid are bigger in the betting.
Yeah, I was slightly surprised to see Madrid a point bigger than Barca. They've, despite the fact they're only a point clear, they do have those two games in hand, so we can think of it as 7 points clear. It might not be seven. It might be slightly less than that. But we'd imagine Madrid would do pretty well in those games in hand. And just the general performance in La Liga this year, Madrid have been better and they've put teams to the sword in a more clinical fashion than Barcelona have. I don't think Barcelona have been matching Real Madrid in terms of performances this season. Even when they've got the results, I don't think Barca have been quite as good in La Liga this season as Real Madrid. So it was interesting to see Madrid a point bigger than Barca in the betting. Bayern, they're in there as well at 4-1. Again, you can never really rule them out of top flight European competitions. They're obviously top of the Bundesliga and looking set to retain it after an early flurry from Leipzig, which has kind of got away now. They were beaten at the weekend. Bayern left it late, actually, to beat Ingolstadt at the weekend. But Bayern, you can never rule them out. The front three in the betting are probably the right three. I was quite keen on Juventus pre-season. I think they were 16-1 pre-season. I thought Higuain might be the missing link for them in Europe. Because obviously they didn't exactly need to buy anyone to win Serie A again. Even losing Paul Pogba, I think Serie A was always going to be easy for them to win again. They brought Higuain, I think, chiefly to progress in Europe because they didn't need to strengthen in Serie A because no one was getting near them anyway. So pre-season, I did like Juventus. A little bit more lukewarm on them now at 12-1, I have to say, because I don't think they've played brilliantly in Europe. I was expecting a much better performance from them. But Madrid, I like them at 4-1, and they've got a pretty winnable tie. Not the easiest tie that anyone's got in this round, but I think it's a winnable tie over two legs against Napoli.
Okay. Real Madrid 4-1 in the market at the moment. Then the Spanish clubs have dominated the Champions League, of course, in recent seasons. Real Madrid have won it either side of Barcelona in the last 3 years. Atletico Madrid in both of those finals against Real as well. Juve, previous runners-up in the competition in as recently as 2015, as you mentioned them with a bit of a squeak, and Bayern Munich, no surprise to see them up there, obviously dominating Germany. They were winners back in 2013. So no real surprise in the market there. Can City get involved at 9-1?
They're the most likely of any of the British contingent, obviously. I mean, you couldn't really fancy Leicester the way they're playing at the moment. Yeah. Arsenal, again, another massively difficult tie against Bayern Munich. It might just be that European football suits Pep a lot more. Everyone's talked about the fact that all he hasn't adjusted to the Premier League. There will be no teams that give the kind of game that a Stoke or a Burnley do in the Champions League. So it might be that European elite football just suits Pep Guardiola a little bit more. So he might be the man to take them on in this competition. Which, again, similar to Higuain, I think is what they chiefly appointed him for, I think anyway, Champions League success.
All right, well, that's a brief look at the outright market for the Champions League then. Let's get stuck into the matches, obviously starting on Tuesday evening, 7:45 p.m. kickoffs, and we'll start with Benfica against Borussia Dortmund. Benfica 21-10 in the betting, the draw 23-10, and Borussia Dortmund are 7-5 in terms of qualification from this tie. Benfica 11-4 to qualify, Borussia Dortmund are 1-4. Several enhanced odds markets available as well. We'll just have a look at some of those. Mitroglou to score in a Benfica win, that was 7-2. That's now 4-1 in terms of goal scorers for Dortmund. They've gone with Marco Reus to score and Dortmund to win. That was 3-1. That's available now at 7-2 and a couple of others as well surrounding Dortmund. The Dortmund to win and both teams to score, that was 17-5. Now available at 4-1. And the same price about Dortmund to win by two or more goals, 4-1 from 17-5. In terms of the match, Sam, how do you see this shaping up? Benfica, top of the Portuguese Primeira Liga, whereas Borussia Dortmund, probably disappointed with themselves, only sitting fourth in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, it has been a bit of a disappointing season for Dortmund, that is for sure. Benfica, as you say, top of their division. As long as they finish ahead of Porto and Sporting, they're always going to finish top. It's a three-team league, essentially, and the rest are a good way behind everybody else. But Dortmund would certainly have eyes on the top two and at least giving Bayern a bit of a challenge. But it's been Red Bull Leipzig who've taken them along for most of the season. And Dortmund, in fact, they haven't really sort of stamped Champions League qualification all over their season just yet. There's a clutch of five teams who are separated by just 3 points going into those final two Champions League spots, if we assume that Leipzig and Bayern are there. Eintracht Frankfurt, Borussia Dortmund, Hoffenheim, Hertha Berlin and Köln, all covered by just 3 points. So Dortmund still needs to get the job done in the league if they're to qualify for this next year. And I watched a little bit of them at the weekend where they were beaten by Darmstadt, who were bottom of the Bundesliga. Going into the weekend, they'd only collected 9 points all season. Yes, you're not going to win every single game in the season, and there are going to be shock defeats, but losing to the bottom side, Darmstadt, who've been really, really poor this season, and who have only collected 9 points after 19 games, gives you an indication of how badly Darmstadt have been. They beat Borussia Dortmund at home at the weekend, and I've seen a couple of things on Twitter regarding Thomas Tuchel and how he's regarded in Germany and how he's regarded by the Dortmund fans versus how he's regarded in England, where he seems to still be held in quite high regard. There's a lot of Arsenal fans who see him as the likely successor to Arsene Wenger, but he's not universally loved in Borussia Dortmund. So there may just be a couple of signs that things aren't all well for Dortmund at the moment. And I think with that in mind, Benfica are probably value if you're looking to get involved in the outright betting here. They're 21-10, which in my view is too big for them. I think the betting should have the pair closer, given that Benfica have got home advantage. They are very good at home. A lot of people say, yes, but they play in the Portuguese league, so they're expected to win a lot of their home games. That's true. Their home form in Europe is pretty decent as well. And one thing they can be relied upon in Europe is to score goals. In their last 16 matches in European competition, they've only drawn a blank once, and that was in a narrow 1-0 defeat to Bayern Munich. So they pretty much always score, even against the top teams. They can be relied upon to get a goal, Benfica. And Borussia Dortmund as well have only actually kept two clean sheets in their last 11 Champions League fixtures. Now, when you consider that they had, you know, no disrespect, teams like Legia Warsaw in their group, who put four past them in that, I know Dortmund scored eight on that occasion, but yeah, to have conceded four to Legia Warsaw and to have only mustered two clean sheets in your last 11 Champions League games, where a lot of those are group games where the teams aren't brilliant, I think that's a bit of a worry for Dortmund. So on the outright betting, Benfica are probably good value at 21-10. The bet that I'll side with, though, is both teams to score. That's in the betting at 4-6. As I mentioned, Benfica pretty much always score here. I've been a little bit anti-Dortmund, but I don't expect them to get nilled in this game. Dortmund, they probably should be the favourites for the match, so I'd expect them to score as well. Both teams score is in the betting at 4-6. As I mentioned, Benfica have only failed to score in one of their last 16, and Dortmund have only kept two clean sheets in their last 11 in the Champions League. So I think thought 4-6 looked fair. But if you were looking for a bit of an upset, I think this is a potential one where Benfica could topple the favourites.
Okay. Over 2.5 goals in the match, by the way. You're saying you fancy a few goals here. That's 10-11. Over 3.5 for anybody who wants a chance, that is 9-4. Leaning slightly towards Benfica in terms of the 90 minutes betting, but with both teams scoring, it would, in your opinion, it wouldn't be remiss of me not to mention the match result in both teams to score. Benfica 9-2 in that market. The draw 3-1. And Borussia Dortmund are 17-5. Anything to add, Sam?
No, I think that's about it for that game. It's interesting you mentioned the over 2.5. It could well be high scoring. It's not too often that we've seen Dortmund games in the Champions League recently go unders on the goals. They seem to have featured in all the crazy group matches over the last couple of years. So, yeah, over 2.5 could be a good way in as well at 10-11.
Let's move on to the other match on Tuesday evening then. A huge match to look forward to at the Parc des Princes as Paris Saint-Germain take on Barcelona. PSG 5-2 in the market. The draw 12-5. Barcelona are 6-5. I'm looking forward to this, Sam. We've seen one or two cracking matches between these two in recent seasons in the Champions League as well. If you look back through recent meetings, Barcelona beat PSG 2-0 at the Nou Camp last time these two sides met, and they went there and won 3-1 at PSG earlier on in the campaign. But PSG have a history of not so much upsetting Barcelona, but getting amongst them, and they did beat them 3-2 in this competition back in 2014. Could we see them be a thorn in the side of Barca once again?
There is a potential, yeah, definitely. I mean, this is very much the tie of the round on paper, isn't it? Barcelona taking on PSG. Two heavyweight front lines going against each other, and it generally doesn't disappoint, this fixture. Sometimes you build games up and they're not as exciting as you thought they would be, but I think this one will be. The betting probably has it about right. 5-2 about PSG at home. It's probably of interest, to be fair, but I would be steering away from the outrights in this one again, I think. And there's an absolute plethora of players that you could choose to get on the score sheet. This is another game, by the way, where I think both teams to score is a player. It's again 4-6 in the betting. It's landed in 6 of the last 7 meetings between the two sides. And they've both got so many big game players that just do not disappoint in these fixtures and will know exactly what is required of them. And they've done it time and time again against big teams. I'd be amazed if this ends goalless. So I think both teams score is a good starting point. That is available at 4-6. Because Barcelona are taking on, and PSG, because they're taking on slightly better opposition than they're used to, we're getting nice prices about all the main men. Not often you see the likes of Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez odds against to get on the score sheet anytime. They're both 6-5. Messi has 13 goals in his last 15 in all competition. Luis Suarez has 10 goals in his last 9 games in all competition. Them both at odds against looks inviting. Cavani's even money again. We always see him at long odds on in Ligue 1. I have to say, I understand why the Barcelona pair are bigger, because, well, for starters, there's 2 of them and they're away from home. But I think the 6-5 of Messi and Suarez, you could do much worse dutching on that. And I'd rather combine those two players in some goal scoring markets, probably, than Cavani and even money, although he is a much bigger price, Edison Cavani. This is another one that I think over 2.5 goals could be the play as well. You can combine both teams to score and over 2.5 goals as well, which is often something I like to do, because obviously the only way that the both teams to score part can land and you not win your bet is a 1-1, which is potentially possible here. But I think both teams to score and over 2.5 goals could offer a little bit more value if you're just taking the 4-6 that it is about both teams score in the game. Go a little bit more greedy, get over 2.5 running for you as well. And in the anytime goal scorer doubles market, which is a big favourite of mine, really, I do like playing this. I normally like playing sort of the main men for two opposite teams, so be it something like Cavani and Messi. But on this occasion, I'd probably take Messi and Suarez both to get on the score sheet for Barcelona. I think that would be of real interest here. It's in the betting at 19-5. It's 7-2 if you fancy the two main men of either side, Cavani and Messi. But Messi and Suarez both score 19-5. This game feels like a 2-2 to me, Mark. So I could see both of them getting on the score sheet. I think Barca score more than one. If you are interested in the 2-2 in the outright betting, that is also available, of course, on the correct score markets. 14-1 for the 2-2. But in terms of the outrights, score draw is 3-1. I like that. 5-2, 6-5 for both of them is probably fair. Probably offers a bit of value if you want to go either way. But the score draw is 3-1. That'd be my outright pick. But again, I like both teams to score here. And if you wanted to just double this up with Benfica and Borussia Dortmund both to score, so all 4 teams to score in the Champions League on Tuesday night, it's just shy of 2-1. 1.9-1 the double, which I don't think looks bad at all given who is involved.
No. No, I quite like the look of that. We do have correct score group betting as well. You think that it'll be a scoring draw. So you've got 1-all, 2-all and 3-all on your side in this particular market. 100-30 in the betting. All very plausible.
Yeah, definitely. And you're getting an extra, 0.3 of a point there versus the score draw. And the only way you'd be chinned is if it's 4-4 or 5-5. Despite the fact I'm expecting an exciting game, I think you're probably worth taking an extra 0.3 of a point and thinking that it doesn't go 4-4. So, yeah, I like that correct score group market as well.
Okay, 14-1 as well for a Desmond, a 2-2 draw, yes. If anybody wants to just take a punt on the correct score there. Really good game to look forward to that. Looking forward to it on Tuesday evening. Let's move on to Wednesday, though. We'll start with Real Madrid against Napoli. Real Madrid 4-7, the draw 16-5. Napoli are 5-1 for the match at the Bernabeu, 7:45 kickoff, of course, on Wednesday evening. I suppose Real Madrid would be relatively happy with this draw when it was made. Napoli sitting third in Serie A. In terms of European fixtures, though, in the Champions League, it is one of the kinder draws that Real Madrid could have had.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe not the easiest draw in the round, but certainly up there. I think Napoli would have been towards the top of Real Madrid's list of teams that they could potentially draw. As you say, they're going pretty well in Serie A this season. They look booked to be back in the Champions League next year. They're a good way clear of Inter in third. They will have to go through a qualifying round, but shouldn't have too many problems there. So European qualification looks almost assured for them next year in Napoli. And they've been playing well this year. This is a meeting of two sides who boast really good home records. Probably goes without saying that, given that they're both pretty high up in the table. But I think this tie may well be decided, actually, based on who plays better at home. Real Madrid, you'd obviously fancy to get the victory, but it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world if Napoli were to beat Real Madrid on home soil. So it might come down to who can get the job done more convincingly when they're at home. And I think Real Madrid will do that. They're not the shortest price in the world, that right? I thought they might be a little bit shorter than the 4-7 available. I like the minus one here in the handicap market. So you're getting odds against about Real Madrid to win this one minus one. It's 13-10 for Real Madrid minus a goal. And they don't need to batter Napoli to land that. 2-0 is not a battering, in my opinion. Napoli can play really well and lose 2-0. Mm-hmm. And they're probably thinking, all right, we're not out the tie. We've not played disgracefully. And 2-0 is a fair score, but it still lands you minus one. It's been landing in the league recently. It would have landed last time out against Osasuna. Time before that against Real Sociedad as well. They have battered teams as well in the Champions League before. If you go back to the group stages, they beat Legia Warsaw 5-1 at home, and a lot of their best performances generally have come at home. The player I'd like to swerve, though, in the goal-scoring markets, Cristiano Ronaldo obviously takes up all the headline offers, and he's going to be the shortest player to get on the score sheets. He has scored 3 in his last 3 in the league. One goal he got in the group stages for Real Madrid, which again...
Gone at the game.
This was... I'm not saying he's gone at the game, but this was a group that involved Legia Warsaw. It involved Dortmund, who...
Did he play
a ship a few goals? I do think he had an injury for the early portion of the group stages. But still, one goal in the group stages. I can't tell you exactly how many games he played.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that he only missed the first 2 or 3 to injury. I think he played the majority. I'm fairly certain that he played
the
majority.
Well, he got injured in the final of the Euros, didn't he?
Yes, so he did.
He missed the start of the season.
For Portugal, yeah. I wouldn't take him price-wise either, because he's 13-20. I mean, I suppose I get it, but nearly 1-2 any time.
Yeah, but look at
that. You've got a lot of talented players in behind him that are bigger prices. It's 21-20, Benzema. Could you play Ronaldo at 13-20?
No, I'd play him score in the enhanced odds market.
You'd play him, all right.
Ronaldo to score Real Madrid to win.
Real Madrid to win at 6-5.
I think that looks great.
I'd just want to take him on, I would. Okay. The player I'd take him on with is a big one. Sergio Ramos is 9-2.
You've got mental. No, I get your point there. He takes penalties and such. Sometimes.
He takes a penalty. He got a brace the other week. I think he's scored 3 goals in his last 8 games, which obviously doesn't sound amazing, but we're talking about a defender here. He's priced up accordingly. So 9-2 could be interesting. I feel that set pieces as well do tend to come into these fixtures quite a bit as well. So he's a good player for a header, as you say. He takes the odd penalty. Sergio Ramos is a bit of value at 9-2 as an anytime goal scorer. I think is interesting because I don't like the price about Ronaldo, and he, by his extremely high standards, didn't have as prolific a group stage, despite the fact that he missed the first portion of it, as we would have expected. And 9-2 offers a bit of value for Ramos. But the main bet here, Real Madrid -1, I really like that at 13-10.
Okay, just want to highlight Real Madrid's home form in the Champions League as well. You mentioned the home form could be key in this particular tie. Only one defeat at home in the Champions League since April 2012.
It's not bad,
which is an unbelievable record.
Yeah.
And a lot of those were wins as well. It's not like they've been sneaking draws here, there and everywhere. They've been very good. Yeah. And don't concede many goals either.
No, correct. And we've been landing the minus one enough times to make it pay. Malmo, Roma, Wolfsburg, Legia Warsaw, all these would have landed minus one.
Minus seven would have landed
against Malmo. It probably would have been a 19-20 shot as well.
All right, so you can't see past Real there then?
Yeah, I think it'll be a comfortable home win, but I don't think Napoli will be disgraceful, but I think Madrid will win by 2 goals.
Okay, saving Premier League interest to last in the Champions League. We finish off with Bayern Munich against Arsenal. 1-2 for Bayern here. The draw is 100-30. Arsenal are 6-1 in the 90 minutes market. In terms of qualification, Bayern odds on for that as well. 100-30 on to qualify from this tie. Arsenal 12-5 for qualification. So the market very lopsided, not only for this game, but in terms of progress from this tie. As a last 16 opponent, Arsenal would have been praying not to get somebody like Bayern Munich, and it's gonna. They always finish second in the group, and they have to do it the hard way.
Yeah,
they're gonna have to do it the hard way again, and
yeah,
even though they finish top.
Yeah, I feel a little bit sorry for Arsenal because, yeah, as you say, again, they finished top, they bump into Bayern Munich. The last time they finished top of the group, they got Monaco on paper, a nice, progressible tie, and they still managed to get knocked out at the hands of Monaco as well. I think they would have taken anyone bar Bayern, to be perfectly honest. I think they would have probably rather had Barcelona or Real Madrid just for something a little bit different and to sort of get the hoodoo off the back, if you like. But they haven't actually got a dreadful record against Bayern. If you just take the games as 90-minute prospects, they've lost over two legs. I mean, this is the fourth time in five seasons that they've had to travel to the Allianz and take them on. They've beaten them at home. They beat them at home back in 2015. They've come here and won. That was back in 2014, but they went out over the course of two legs on that occasion. The most recent meeting, though, will obviously be the one that sticks in the head. And that will be the 5-1 battering in the group stages here at the Allianz when they got absolutely pumped on that occasion, Arsenal. It's interesting for me, though, that their last four trips to the Allianz, Arsenal scored on every single occasion. So they do often come here and score a goal. It's something I mentioned quite a few times for the Champions League. But again, both teams to score here is 4-6 again. Now, that's actually a better price than Bayern Munich outright at 1-2. I much prefer both teams to score than taking Bayern outright, given that, yes, they should be favourites, but Arsenal are capable of getting a result here. 4-6, both teams to score, or 1-2, Bayern outright. Much rather play the 4-6 here. And as I mentioned, on the last four visits to the Allianz Arena for Arsenal, they've scored on each of those visits. Bayern usually get on the score sheet at home as well, which is obviously handy for our bet. Olivier Giroud is a man who's got a reasonably good record against Bayern, given that they don't always obviously beat them, but he's got three goals against them in Arsenal's last five meetings. That's not a terrible strike rate for him. And Olivier Giroud, given that he plays for Arsenal, is a pretty nice price. He's 21-10. Traders not really fancying Arsenal to score a goal, so you can get a bit of value on Giroud anytime at 21-10. And 3-5 against a side as good as Bayern Munich isn't an awful record, I don't think. Sanchez has to be looked at, of course. 19-10. He got a brace at the weekend, and you feel that if Arsenal have any chance of getting a result here, or especially getting a win, that he has to play well. It'd be very difficult for him to have a quiet game and everybody else perform out of their skin and Arsenal get the job done anyway. So Sanchez, again, he has to be looked at. 19-10 for him, but I probably prefer Giroud given his record at 21-10. I mentioned set pieces do come into it in the Champions League, and Giroud obviously good in the air. So at 21-10, he might be the answer. Didn't get much game time at the weekend, so he could come in midweek if Wenger's rotating the squad. Might be the kind of game that just suits Giroud as well. In terms of the outright, it's probably Bayern, but I couldn't touch them at 1-2, especially not, as I said, when it's 4-6 about both teams to score. I'd much rather play that. If you were dead set on an outright bet, I might maybe take Arsenal on the handicap, to be perfectly honest. They're 6-1 outright. It's 8-5 plus a goal, 8-15 plus two goals. That's give or take the same price as Bayern outright. I think I'd rather have an Arsenal win, a draw, and a defeat by a goal running for me at the same price as Bayern are, because I don't think they're as big of underdogs as they're being made out here in the betting. They've proved they can come here and get a result, for albeit that Bayern have obviously got this fabulous home record, both in Europe and domestically. But in terms of the outrights, Arsenal plus two might be the answer at 8-15. But I like that 4-6 again, both teams to score, main better.
Yeah, fabulous home record, as you mentioned there, just counting them up. 15 consecutive victories in the Champions League. One of them did go to extra time. That was against Juventus last March. So technically that would have been a draw in the 90 minutes market. But
would Arsenal be one of the last teams to have beaten them in the Champions League at home? When they beat them back in 2013, was it? When Arsenal beat them? 2013.
Yeah. One of them. Since then, only City and Real have gone there and won.
Okay.
And Arsenal did draw in that spell as well. So yeah, it might not be as straightforward as the market
suggests. Yes, so of the last four home games in the Champions League that they've failed to win, it's been against Arsenal twice. Probably because they play Arsenal all the time.
Yeah. Let's back Arsenal. 6-1. I was going to ask you the question if 6-1 was too big. It is a tempting old
Yeah, I think it's too big. They're obviously underdogs. Of course they are. But 6-1 underdogs. And I think if you think a price is too big, but you still can't find a way to back them, that's what the handicap market's there for. 8-5 plus a goal, you think they're going to draw. I mean, they can lose the game with that plus two bet. And yep. it's the same price as buying outright. If they lose by a goal, your bet's still a winner. So there's lots of scope within that 6-1 if you don't fancy playing Arsenal to win the game in 90 minutes.
Fair enough. Let's move on to the Europa League then. Thursday evening, we'll go through these in time order. The 6 o'clock kickoff. See Spurs travel to Ghent, the home side are 19-5 here. 5-2 for the draw, and Spurs are 5-6. Tottenham 1-7 to qualify from this tie. Ghent are 4-1, and a lot of people will be interested, supposing he plays, in Harry Kane to score, Tottenham to win, and both teams to score. That was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 6-1. Ghent are 8th in their respective division against Spurs, who still harbour ambitions of trying to close the gap on Chelsea in the Premier League. I ask you two questions here, Sam. How happy will Spurs be with the draw, and do they even want to be in the Europa League given how close they are in the Premier League?
I think when the draw originally came out, they probably weren't thinking too much about the Europa League and were concentrating plenty on the Premier League at that time. But now we're a few months down the line and it's actually came around. They're 10 points behind Chelsea, which is not completely impossible, but is beginning to look a little bit tough for them. So they might actually have a renewed focus on the Europa League now, because for all that it is the Champions League lesser brother, if you like, it's still a trophy, and it's still a European trophy as well. And it would be a big statement of how far Spurs have come over the last 10, 15 years. So I think they might be focusing on it a little bit more now than they perhaps were when the draw was first announced. And obviously you deal with the disappointment of a pretty poor Champions League campaign. You drop into the Europa League, it's not where you want to be. But now that the Premier League looks as though it could well have got away from them, this could be a nice chance to get a bit of silverware. And they've got a very, very winnable tie. Obviously, there's more winnable games in the Europa League than there is in the Champions League. It goes without saying that anyway. But Ghent is a real plum draw for Spurs. They're not having a great season in the Belgian top flight. And it's not the greatest football league in Europe, but they're 8th out of 16 teams at the moment, so it's a pretty nothing season from Ghent. The way the Belgian League actually works, they may well still have a chance of qualifying for this next year. I think, apart from if you finish bottom, everyone else in the league goes into a sort of playoff for European football next year, so they could well be back. But it's been a very so-so season for Ghent, and even if they were flying, you'd still fancy Spurs to get the better of them. 5-6 for me was an interesting price here about Spurs. I think that is plenty big enough. I know maybe some people think Spurs won't be taking this seriously. I do think that they'll be resting more players than the likes of Manchester United, for example, who may well need this tournament to qualify for the Champions League next year. So I do think there's a chance that Spurs rest players. But even a rested Spurs side is likely to get the better of a Ghent side who are massively underperforming this season. 5-6 for Spurs was definitely my bet here. I thought that was plenty big enough in the outright markets. Given that they're likely to rest players, maybe worth chancing a couple of the promising youngsters that they've got having a big game. I like the look of Harry Winks' anytime goal scorer at 5-1. It's a big price for a midfielder. I think if they do rest players, he's definitely a fringe player that they're likely to bring into the fold. The likes of Janssen and stuff are going to start up top, but could you really trust Janssen? Has he scored maybe one or even zero goals from open play yet? I know most of his goals for Spurs have been from the penalty spot. So I'd rather take a chance on an up-and-coming midfielder, a youngster, who I think Pochettino will be keen to blood in these European matches. And Harry Winks at 5-1 is a bit of a flyer, anytime goal scorer. Obviously, he's not guaranteed that he starts. But I see Kane and Ali minimum being rested. Dele Alli particularly is in flying goal scoring form at the moment. Kane not too shabby himself, of course, but I don't think either of them will start. 5-6 for me for Spurs to win is my main bet here. And I think you can look at the likes of Harry Winks at 5-1, maybe to get on the score sheet against a Ghent side who aren't up to their usual standards. And even if they were, I still think a Spurs second string would beat them anyway. So 5-6 looks more than good enough for me, and maybe take a chance on Harry Winks as well.
Yeah, it's obviously, we say this every time there's a Europa League game on the punt by our own admission, but check team news before placing a bet on goal scorers and such in this game. I'd be interested to see if somebody like Heung-min Song was to start, because he did quite well in the Europa League for them last season. He scored in the defeat against Borussia Dortmund. Eric Lamella had a real good campaign in the Europa League as well. So those kind of players, I'd be interested in seeing seeing a bet on them if they were to start, obviously. But yeah, Tottenham should be good enough, shouldn't they?
Yeah, definitely. No, and I think you're just probably going to get your bets refunded. They're on the likes of Kane. I can't see him starting Kane or Dele Alli particularly. But yeah, as you mentioned there, Lamella's another player as well who these kind of games probably suit him a little bit more. Probably doesn't always have the stomach for some of the physical battles in the Premier League. So maybe excels a bit more in Europe for that reason.
Let's move on to the final game we look at then. 8:05 kickoff at Old Trafford as Manchester United take on St Etienne. It's 1-3 for Manchester United. The draw is 4-1 and St Etienne are 10-1 in the betting. Manchester United sitting sixth in the Premier League, briefly touched fifth over the weekend and then back to sixth place. St Etienne sitting in fifth place in Ligue 1. You've kind of alluded to it a little bit in your preview for the Spurs game. Manchester United, you would expect, will be targeting success in the Europa League because it's a way into the Champions League and they don't look like they're necessarily going to get that crack in the Premier League.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Mourinho's been kind of derogatory earlier on in the season about the Europa League. You know, we don't want to be in it. Da, da, da. And I get that. You know, Manchester United, they want to be in the Champions League. But now they've added the carrot of Champions League qualification to this tournament. And with a spot in the top four, far from guaranteed for Manchester United, I don't think they will make the top four. So I think the focus has to be on this tournament. I think a win in the Europa League would, obviously, Champions League qualification aside, even if you didn't get that, I think the United fans would probably rather win this than an EFL Cup. I think they'd rather win a European trophy, albeit it's the secondary one, than the EFL Cup. Obviously, that cup final comes up in a couple of weeks' time against Southampton. But I think a European trophy would mean a lot more to the fans. And of course, you know, it goes without saying now, you get Champions League football with it, which is the biggest draw. So I think someone like Spurs, they may well be resting players. I think Manchester United will play a strong team here. And if they do play a strong team, if they do roll out the big guns, the biggest gun of all for them this season has been Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who has an unbelievable record against St Etienne. 14 goals he scored against St Etienne during his time at PSG. By far and away, the team that he scored the most goals against, I should say. So that unbelievable record for Zlatan. And it probably is something more than a coincidence now. The fact that it's happened that many times in the French League, the St Etienne defenders will dread playing him. Yeah. He'll know that. He's the kind of player that will probably thrive off that. It wouldn't surprise me if he's a word in the ear of the defender kind of person. So Zlatan will definitely know that. The St Etienne defenders will know that. He's 5-6 to score any time, which I thought was really, really big. Even if he didn't have this unbelievable record against St Etienne, he's their main player. They're 1-3 favourites at home in a competition they're going to be taking really seriously. How on earth he's nearly even money to get on the score sheet, I do not know. I know he's not played every Europa League game this season, but during the group stages, the Premier League season wasn't as mature as it is now, and they wouldn't have known for sure. I mean, they don't know for sure now, but now it looks unlikely that they'll make the top four. So now they have to take the Europa League seriously. I think 5-6 is a really, really big prize for Zlatan. Him to score any time would be my main bet here. I think United will probably win the match. They're 1-3 favourites. St Etienne, they're having an OK season. It's not disgraceful. It's not amazing either. And given that PSG have been significantly weakened this season and the likes of Monaco and Nice have come to the fore, there was an opportunity maybe for St Etienne to launch an assault on perhaps the top three or four positions this season, but they're not quite there. And Zlatan Ibrahimovic anytime for me, 5-6 is as far as you need to go on this game. It really is. Potentially Manchester United -1 if you're looking to squeeze more value out of the 1-3 outright and you don't want to play Zlatan, but Zlatan scoring a Manchester United win, probably a better way to go than the handicap betting. And I'm very pro Zlatan on this one.
Yeah, you mentioned him there. You imagine he's kind of a player that would get in the ear of some of the defenders.
I can see it, yeah.
I could imagine him just saying, I'm going to score against you.
remember when I scored against you the last time?
Yeah.
And the time before that?
Yeah,
and the other seven games before that when I scored against you as well?
Yeah. Again, check team news, see if he plays. But Zlatan looks of obvious interest there at 5-6. Looks a very good price. And Manchester United's form quietly has been, well, pretty superb, really.
But they haven't lost a Premier League game since October.
No. They lost to Hull City in the EFL Cup semi-final, of course. They lost to Fenerbahce in the Europa League. But barring that, you have to go back to Chelsea in the Premier League in October for the last time they suffered defeat. So they've quietly been going against the business, about the business.
Yeah, definitely. It's beginning to come together a little bit more for them, isn't it? I think it's probably too little too late in the Premier League, but the Europa League, massive, massive opportunity for them to win this. I think they're 7-2 favourites for the tournament, probably short enough at this stage, but they have to be right near the top of the list for potential tournament winners, given that they'll want it more than a lot of the other big teams do in and around the top of the market.
Okay, well, good stuff, Sam. Do you have a favourite bet of any of that? Is it just a scattergun approach?
Yeah, I do like that Zlatan to score any time at 5-6. Probably just for the price, I'd go for Real Madrid minus a goal, because I think that 13-10 is too big. There's a lot of things tonight that I've said have been too big, but that particularly for me is a bit of a carrot being dangled. So 13-10, Madrid minus a goal.
All right, superb. Thank you very much, Sam. Good luck and enjoy this week.
Cheers, Mark.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill. Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.